Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 136 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her skin today. Yeah, we're going to love this one. I get to have on a really special friend and someone you've probably seen on TV, just saying. Before we start the episode, just know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate this podcast and review us, because I sit here waiting to hear from you. I so love your thoughts. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Raise your hand out there in her podcast land if you've been just tinkling away on your little online skincare advice. You know what I'm talking about. You Google skincare advice and up pops everything. And then you're sitting there saying, oh my God, where do I begin to figure out what I'm supposed to be getting here that isn't toxic, ridiculous, overly priced, and maybe dangerous to my skin? Who's going to help me with all of this? I know. It's our guest today. It's Dr. Tabison Smear. Dr. Smear is a wonderful friend, a dermatologist, and oh boy, what a background. Based in New York and LA, she's earned her stars and stripes climbing the medical ranks since the age of 20 when she started medical school. She's had a practice in dermatology over 12 years, and what an entrepreneurial spirit and personality. She's gone on television, media markets. What can I say? She earned her medical degree in training and finished her residency at New York University. She's appeared as a skincare correspondent on TV news programs such as NBC's Live at 5, CBS Early Morning Show, Fox 5, New York Morning News, Good Day New York, Telemundo. I could go on. You get the point. In addition to her skincare line, Dr. Smear has also been on numerous radio talk shows as a professional expert in her entire field. And of course, she's been featured in every flipping magazine from Shape Magazine to More to Maxim. And what can I say? Oh my gosh, I'm just exhausted listening to all of this. She also has her own podcast, which I just did with her a week ago in New York, via CBS News Radio Studios, where she's interviewing celebs. Oh my gosh, I was a celeb with her. What can I say? Dr. Smear, welcome to the Her podcast.
Oh my goodness, thanks for having me. What an intro.
I know, I'm exhausted. I mean, I just did some moment while I wiped my forehead. Sweat is just pouring off me.
That's how I felt introducing you last week. So there you go.
So touche, girlfriend. All right. So we have all these listeners out there saying, all right, help us. If we Google skincare, you get up with like 10 billion hits. What in heaven's name can a woman do to begin to just sort of keep it simple and find the things that you, Dr. Smear, consider to be safe, appropriate, and cost effective?
Well, I mean, you need to, first of all, as a female, as a consumer out there, there's so many people selling skincare, and it gets overwhelming. The skincare market is going to be a multi-billion-dollar market, and so the stakes are high to kind of present information in a way that looks like it's going to give you the results quickly. But the first thing a consumer needs to do is really think about who they're getting their information from. If you're getting all of your information from the very people that are trying to sell you a product, make sure they're credentialed and make sure what they're saying makes sense. try not to get overwhelmed with big fancy terms that you see on skincare ingredients. I mean, I'm sure you've seen that when you go to buy something and they make it sound like it's a big scientific ingredient and you're not really sure what it is, but you buy it because it sounds scientific, right?
You got that one right. And now everyone's, you know, now touting clean, fragrance-free. Okay, and fragrance is a big deal here because many of the skincare experts are now saying, get the fragrance out of all of this because, quite frankly, it can be irritating to skin and it could also hide other ingredients that are not great for your skin. What do you think about that?
I think that I kind of agree. I think fragrance is unnecessary to add into skincare. You have to keep in mind that fragrance to whatever you add into skincare can be a potential allergen to almost anyone. And fragrances added into skincare gives you nothing to actually improve the quality of that skincare, but it can cause allergic reactions. There's a lot of makeup now and a lot of skincare, and especially a lot of these luxury skincare that uses essential oils, and they say that those fragrance it, but really pay attention to the ingredients. Read the ingredients on your skincare label. And if fragrance is listed on there and you have sensitive skin, you might find that having a fragrance item makes you more sensitive to that skincare. So avoiding fragrance is something I think is important. And I think it's something that skin companies need to be aware of and pay more attention to. There are some old-fashioned products that still have that, like the Pond's Cold Cream and such, and some of the older Chanel creams, but fragrance is not necessary and it doesn't improve the performance of skincare.
I love it. All right. Give us your skincare regimen. I've had the pleasure of seeing Dr. Muir, who's now a new dear, dear friend. And of course, you can see her too if you simply go to her webpage, which is DR, that's Dr. Tab, TABASUMMIR.com. Also, the same thing with her Facebook, which is exactly the same. And, you know, you've got beautiful skin. You obviously take fantastic care of it. So I want to know right now, what's your secret? Tell us what your regimen is.
So the regimen, really, it's about protecting it during the day and repairing it at night. That's really what you need to remember. The most
I love that. Wait a minute. Repair at night. Protect during the day. I actually love the way you just phrase that. That's really easy to remember. Okay, protect and repair. Now, what do you do?
So the things that protect it are antioxidants and sunblock. So things that you want to think about in the morning is sunblock. And I know that over the course of all these years, everybody identifies sunblock as the separate thing that they need to put on their face. And they think that it doesn't go with their makeup, or it's too ashy, it's too greasy, it's this, that, the other. You know, nowadays there's sunblock in everything. There's sunblock in your moisturizer, there's sunblock in your makeup, there's sunblock in your setting powders, and there are even sunblocks in setting sprays that both men and women can wear. So it's very easy to get sun protection nowadays, especially layering the sun protection. The best thing to do, wash your face in the morning. You don't really need a toner in the morning. And if you wash your face at night, you don't really need to worry about toning and that sort of extra step in the morning. Put a sunblock on within your moisturizer. Then if you wear makeup, try and find a cosmetic foundation with a sunblock in that. These layered type sunblocks will not only help protect your skin, it's also really easy to do and an easy first step in the morning, especially if you're in your hurry.
I love it. And you said not to use a toner. You said not to use a toner in, why is that?
In the morning. Well, okay, if you think about it, if you go to bed and you wash your face before you go to bed, which is what every single dermatologist will recommend, you really don't have to get up in the morning and re-cleanse it aggressively. If you cleanse properly at night, you put your reparative stuff on at night, you wake up in the morning, sometimes just a good rinse is enough. it's not necessary to go back in there and scrub it up again and use a toner, which often contains ingredients like alcohol or witch hazel. And those sorts of things are not really needed in the morning if you cleanse properly at night.
I love it. Okay.
Your morning can be really as easy as getting up and putting some sunblock on.
Well, a lot of women are asking me when it comes to skincare, whether or not they should be also using a serum. Can you answer that and also describe what a serum is?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question, because that's another example of how marketing has given you enough information to hang yourself with. All a serum is another method of another type of a topical cream, and it's usually in a more liquid form, and it's generally said to have higher active ingredients in it. That being said, people can throw serum onto anything that's not a cream. It's really, it's like, you know how there's solids, there's creams, there's lotions. Look at the whole moisturizing industry for hand creams. You have body butters, you have lotions, you have mousses. It's just a different type of formulation for a topical. And a lot of times what a serum is meant to do is give you a higher percentage of an active ingredient. And there are different types of serums out there. There are serums that are said to be more hydrating and serums that are said to be more in terms of active ingredients, have active ingredients in it. So I would recommend trying to ask yourself, what are you trying to achieve? If you're trying to hydrate your skin, maybe if you want to add a second step of a serum, make sure the serum is hydrating. If you're trying to combat aging, make sure your serum has active ingredients that combat those sorts of things. A serum can be a great extra step in addition to a cream to help increase the benefits of that active ingredient.
Aha. So you use the serum and then you put on a moisturizer on top of it?
Yes. Usually you use serum. You want to use that thing that has the highest percentage of active ingredients closer to your skin. So serums having a higher ingredient of active would be better closer to the skin. So you generally apply that first.
Okay. Very, very good. Now, what do you do to repair? All right. Because all of us we're sitting around feeling damaged here. So what do you do to repair?
That's sort of the biggest industry in skincare. It's the anti-aging industry. It's the acne preventing industry. This is the real muscle of the skincare industry, in that there are so many different types of ingredients to repair. And this is where it can get complicated. You know, if you are looking to repair certain kinds of skin conditions, you need to look at certain kinds of ingredients that will do that. Some of the best out there are ingredients like retinol. Retinol is great for fine lines and wrinkles. Glycolic or alpha hydroic acids, these sorts of things are good for resurfacing the skin. And antioxidants are also great for repairing the skin. So when you think of anti-aging, when you think of skin damage, that's the whole reparative category. And a lot of times it really helps for you to get information from somebody that you trust, is experienced. And this is where dermatologists can come in to tell you exactly what kind of thing you need for your repair process. For example, a woman who has mature skin, who's looking to help heal and smooth her wrinkles, might look at something like a retinol. Whereas a young girl who maybe has had acne in the past and is trying to get her skin repaired from the acne might look at things like benzoyl peroxides and salicylic acid. So this is really where you have to do the heavy lifting and understand what you're putting on your face.
I see. Okay. Now, talk to us about masks, facial masks and facial scrubs and basically almost like peels. So that whole world of kind of resurfacing, as it were.
Facial masks have become really, really popular lately. And a lot of times it's just the luxury process of putting a mask on. And sometimes people think if they're leaving something on their skin for a longer period of time, it's going to give them a better effect. So, you know, this is where I kind of have a kind of a difficult time separating the medicine from the cosmetic. In people's minds, in my mind, masks are fun. They could be a great luxurious step to make you feel better. They could boost hydration on your skin immediately for like a boost, say if you've been traveling or you wake up in the morning and you are looking particularly tired for whatever reason. They can give you a temporary boost in your surface hydration. But long-term benefits of masks are minimal. And you have to be careful of drying your skin out if you're using these drying type masks, like the clay-based masks frequently. And also with scrubbing, a little bit of cleansing is great, but oftentimes I see patients treating their skin like it's a linoleum floor and they're over scrubbing it, and it can cause irritation and inflammation, which actually aggravate other conditions. And it's a well-known fact that inflammation can lead to aging. And oftentimes women of color aggressively scrub their skin, which can result in post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation. Now, that's just a fancy word of dark spots in where they're scrubbing. So a little bit is okay, and it's great for temporary boost surface hydration, maybe kind of like a drink of water for your skin. But their long-term benefits in these masks are minimal and not found to really improve you long-term. But they're great for like a short-term boost of hydration.
How often do you do peels, and where should a woman really be getting a peel?
So peels are great. You should be getting them from your dermatologist. The reason being, your type of peel, the strength of the peel, for example, glycolic acids are very common peels. A lot of my patients have come to me saying, oh, I got a glycolic peel at the spa and it didn't really see anything. It didn't really do anything. It's generally because those sorts of peels are in a low concentration, and oftentimes they're so gentle because those practitioners don't have access to the heavier peels. So oftentimes those are just for a very simple, gentle effect. If you're looking at something like acne scarring, maybe really more mature lines and wrinkles, surface texture irregularities, then peels that are done at higher percentages are great for you. And seeing a dermatologist is the best way to do it and the most recommended way. And as for the amount you have to do, I know in my practice, I've had people come in and say that you had a lot of acne scars, acne spots, hyperpigmentation. Sometimes I'll give people a series of them over the course of 2 months. They'll come in maybe every 3 weeks. And other people just need it once, and they're good for a little while. So it depends on the state of your skin.
I love it. All right. Well, I've been just taking copious notes. I know everyone out there in her podcast land has been going out of their mind trying to keep up with all of this. And you've really helped us make sense of, really what a simple, basic, straightforward daily regimen for skincare should look like. And most importantly, to beware online skincare advice by people who don't have your kind of background. I'll listen to someone who's a certified, credentialed, board-certified dermatologist like yourself. But I'm hesitant to listen to anybody else who's doing their own little YouTube channel and making it up as they go along. And especially now, listening to your advice, being very wary of many of the companies out there that are just kind of creating this stuff out of the blue. And I also want to reiterate what you said about fragrance. Fragrance is not necessary in any of these products. And it's really important to remember that fragrance and that type of thing can be very irritating to the skin and can develop an allergic reaction. So there's another little data bite you can kind of register. So this has been ridiculously helpful. Dr. Mir, you have been fabulous. Again, we've been talking to Dr. Tabassum Mir, my wonderful, dear, dear friend, dermatologist. Please run on over to her website. And that's Dr. Tabassum Mir. And that's Dr. DrTabassum, as in Mary, M as in Mary, IR.com to learn more about her wonderful work. Dr. Mir, thanks so much for being on the Her Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been great. Thank you for all your questions.
awesome. And remember, everyone out there, to catch every episode of Her by just hitting a subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And then just take a couple seconds now and rate and review this wonderful podcast we've just done with Dr. Muir to learn about all things skincare for you out there. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakeMD and my Facebook page, Dr. Pam Peake. And you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.